What's up, everybody, and welcome to Preferences and References. I'm Tanner Chaney, along with Jay Winkler.
Howdy.
And Andrew Abernathy. One of us each week will bring pop culture questions to the podcast as the other two discuss them. This week is my week, and I'm going to start off with a question based on...
This day is your day, not...
Come on.
You don't get a whole week.
They say week?
Yeah, you don't get a whole week.
I'm sorry. This episode is my episode.
Week.
This is my body.
So
it's based on a list of actors.
You should make a... Never mind.
What?
That reference.
What reference?
This is my body.
I knew he was throwing something in there.
That is a reference.
I know. Never mind.
Okay. There was a list that just came out.
Which we're just going to have Andrew try to guess who number one is.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because I know.
There's a list of the highest paid, or highest net worth, excuse me.
Yeah.
Actors with the highest net worth. The second guy you've never heard of. You can name all the other ones. But the number one is worth an astonishing $800 million. Okay? So there's an actor worth $800 million. He's not solely an actor, but he doesn't own a company or anything. Like, he's maybe production companies. Some of them on the list own production companies. But
so
who do you think the number one highest net worth actor is?
So highest paid actor last year was Robert Downey Jr.
Not on the list.
Not on the, so it's not highest paid. It's
highest net worth.
Net worth.
Net worth. Huh.
Looking for the article.
And they don't have any other investments.
I mean,
nope.
No. Not as... Nothing.
You know them for one thing.
Maybe two things.
Maybe.
But they kind of...
They meld.
Yeah.
So just because it's net worth, I'm going to go with some older...
You're on the right track in doing that, yeah.
So let's say...
Almost spoiled it.
Morgan Freeman.
I don't think he's on the list.
I don't believe
Don't
so.
Look at the screen, because I'm going to look and see who else
just
is on
Just look
the
at
list.
My eyes.
Oh, I can look in your eyes.
Morgan Freeman, not on the list.
Kevin Spacey.
Not on the list.
Liam Neeson.
Not on the list.
Al Pacino.
Not on the list.
God.
Guys who have been big names for a while.
Okay, give me a hint on the first one.
On the number one.
Number one.
Comic.
Yeah, he's funny.
A comic.
Yes. And that's why this is so surprising.
Louis C.K.?
No.
So, better known than that.
800,
way better.
800
million. 800
million. 800 million as a comedian.
It's a dude.
So, are we talking like late night host?
No.
No.
What the heck?
Yeah. It's really surprising. Like, super surprising.
Give me another hint.
Had his own TV show.
Had his own TV show.
That might give it away. Had, not has. Had.
Had.
Yes.
Had his own TV show.
Right.
I have no idea.
Want to expand a little further?
Yes.
Had his own sitcom.
In the 90s.
No way.
What?
Everybody Loved Raymond?
No.
No.
No. Raymond.
Oh, Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yes. Jerry Seinfeld is worth $800 million.
That's awesome.
And just look at who.
And he freaking charted us, like, what? What was it for tickets to see him at EKU?
Yeah, at Eastern was like $150.
That explains a lot.
Like, yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld is worth $820 million. The second, I told you, you've never heard of
Bollywood guy.
Shah Rukh Khan, $600 million. He's like the king of Bollywood. Tom Cruise is at 3 with 480. Tyler Perry, very predictably on the list, with $450 million. Dude makes a lot of money. Johnny Depp is 5th with the same amount. Jack Nicholson is 6th with $400 million. Tom Hanks is 7th with $390. Bill Cosby is 8th with $380. Clint Eastwood is 9th with $370. And sliding in is Adam Sandler. I almost said Adam Sandler. I just thought that was an interesting list. Because I never in a million years would have guessed that Jerry Seinfeld was the highest net worth actor, even though you don't really consider him an actor.
No, not anymore, at least.
I just thought that was really interesting. And that's how I wanted to start the show.
All right,
next question. So I'm a big fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah.
Both of you have seen at least a little bit.
Is this the one that you played as we were going to sleep at his house?
They watch old movies and make fun of them.
Right. They sit in front of the screen.
Yeah.
And then these guys have evolved into Riff Tracks, which is basically the same thing, but you don't see them in their newer movies.
Okay.
And this culture is called riffing, where you sit in front of a bad movie and you make fun of it. I want to know your all's take on what... Like, do you like that aspect of television? Cheap Seats did the same thing, which was the Sklar Brothers sports show on ESPN Classic, which was awesome. Like, I absolutely love riffing, and I'm just wondering if it's just me or...
Oh, we do it all the time. It's like we used to sit in chorus and make fun of all the high school musicals and stuff. Like, the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm okay with it. Unless it's a movie that I'm watching for the first time.
Okay.
Because then I'll...
Even if you know going in it's a horrible movie.
Yeah, I still want to watch it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, because I think it's better to go and like watch a movie with an open mind rather than being sitting there trying to make jokes about it the entire time.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the one experience I had with it watching that was weird. Because it was just like, I mean, it was quirky, just, you know. And I get, is that this, that one, the Mystery Science Theater 3000? Is that just like a more quirkier just take on it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole concept of the show is where the robots and all that, that's kind of out there.
Yeah.
But that's really what started it, and then Cheap Seats did it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I'm fine with it, but I'm just kind of in the same boat. That's just,
for the first time I watched the movie, I want to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But see, like Mystery Science Theater 3000, I haven't seen some of those movies outside of that show.
Yeah.
Because they're so terrible that no one would watch them.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that? Like there are movies you've never heard of that they do, and I think they're hilarious.
I mean, if it's...
And I would never
watch them. They do a lot of older movies, so that I would be okay with, just because...
I mean, they're not riffing.
Production value, yeah.
Right.
But...
It's all crap. Usually.
I'd still almost... Even though I say it now, but I'll probably make a few jokes during the movie. But I'd still want to...
If it gets so bad.
Oh, yeah. At a certain point, I would give it a chance, is what I'm saying.
Right.
But, I mean, it's like a different layer. I mean, if you're sitting there... I could see sitting there making fun of it yourself. Like, if we all were at a movie and just sitting there and heckle the whole thing. But it's then you're watching people do that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a different lens.
See, I think it's really fun.
Oh, I could see in a lot of contexts where it would be very entertaining.
Yes. But their process is more like they watch it two or three times, write down at what point they need to make this joke. Right, yeah, it's very plotted.
Yeah.
Which is better than Advantage than you or me, because they know when jokes are coming.
Yeah.
So they know
we tried it one time without like any preview.
Yeah.
And we did all right.
It was fun. I mean, we didn't make a habit out of it.
No.
But we could do it.
It's really tiring, too.
Yeah, like going for a whole movie, making joke after joke.
And I imagine that probably requires you to pay more attention than you would normally pay to a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're looking for every little thing.
Next joke. Yeah. All right, well, there's that take on that. My next question, I had it and I lost it.
Now you know the feeling.
Yeah.
You get to talk about something and it completely escapes your mind.
The Half-Life 3 thing.
Oh.
For those of you who don't know, Half-Life is a very, very beloved, although I've never played them.
Nope.
I have.
Video game series by Valve, who are the people behind Steam. And there was a guy who formerly worked on Counter-Strike, which is another Valve game, who said Half-Life 3 is in production. Now my question is, what is it about gaming that makes it the most exploited rumor-wise? Because you don't hear about, Avengers 2 is filming before Avengers, because everybody knows Avengers 2 is filming, right?
Yeah.
So why is it that games are so like shocking when they're leaked or when they're revealed?
I would say it's shocking just because I played the games and you knew it was coming.
I mean, everybody knew Half-Life 3 was coming, but I'm saying, like, E3 is a spectacle, right? Which is where they reveal, if you don't know, which is where they reveal games for the upcoming year or two.
I'd say it's probably, I mean, games are, they're not, they're all designed to try to be sequel prone, just about. Like, you go in, most developers, I would think, go in saying, I hope this game is received well enough and sells well enough that we can make a sequel.
Well, Ubisoft, definitely.
Yeah, and then it goes from there that it's like, man, are they going to make a sequel? Maybe they are, maybe they're not.
I think it's something you're not even thinking about.
What is that?
That you make a movie, the process of making a movie involves people outside of who actually is making the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have like editors, producers. You have to write a script. Like you have to write a screenplay. All that leading up to even you have to cast, and there's so many facets of that that have the chance to be leaked. That it's almost like think of it as you got two pipes. One's a game, one's a movie.
Yep.
They're both filled with water.
Right.
Now you have all these different patches on your movie pipe, and you have one or two on the game pipe. It has more chances to get out than
it's a higher breach of security if it's a game than it is.
It's
I can see that.
Made in such a small, like you have teams of. You know, hundreds of people working on games, but you
like
have.
It's almost inevitable that something is going to leak.
Definitely.
Right.
But games, are people try to at least to keep them under lock and key.
I think it's a culture thing, too, where movies are never like, oh my God, have you heard about this new movie? It's like, yeah, I'd watch that. You know, but games, people get so excited for. And it's more of an experience and more something you anticipate.
And it's
you anticipate it more than a movie.
Because, I mean,
you're going to get more bang for your buck.
Like Watch Dogs comes out here in a few days. I imagine we'll spend upwards of 40 or 50 hours at least playing this game.
Right.
Whereas you spend 2.5 hours watching a good movie.
Right. You know?
Like, there's depth of an experience there.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah.
So Last Comic Standing started last night. We filmed this on a Friday. Or we record this on Friday. And it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was really funny. They've kind of reinvented the style. Used to, they would go to, like, different little clubs, and whoever was closest would come audition, good, bad, kind of like Idol or whatever. But now it's more like The Voice, where there's, like, pre-audition, and then they select from the top 100 or whatever. And it was really funny, as it always is. It's a great premise for a show. But I don't know about you. I find stand-up comedy really funny when not everyone's going nuts about it. Like, I'm not crazy about Kevin Hart because I find him annoying.
I do like Kevin Hart.
He's a little annoying.
I could understand that, definitely.
And I think everyone thinks he's the next great comic, and maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
He's not Eddie Murphy, as much as the film industry wants him to be.
Yeah.
He's not as funny as Eddie Murphy was. Eddie Murphy's a like once in a lifetime thing.
Well, one of the things that made Eddie Murphy so funny was just SNL.
Right. I mean, he has
different launching platforms.
He can play a character way better than Kevin Hart can. Kevin Hart can play Kevin Hart in any movie, but that's the only thing he can play. Eddie Murphy could be, you know, the guy from Coming to America or Axel Foley or just all these different. He's very good at roles.
Yeah.
But my bigger question is, it's kind of twofold. One is stand up dead. Because I'd say the prime of stand-up was late 70s, early 80s, and they would come out as, like, film releases.
Yeah.
Right? The only person to do that lately has been Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
But people are very polarized on Kevin Hart. They either love him or they don't really pay attention to him.
Yeah.
I think stand-up is a dying form. Because, I mean, I honestly can't tell you besides... maybe the last Bo Burnham special. What was the last stand-up special?
Neil Brennan.
I think I watched Bo Burnham after that. I'm not sure. But you know what I mean? Like, we get into it. We were really big stand-up fans. But I don't think it appeals to as broad an audience as it used to.
I could understand it being, like, stand-up on a grand scale is dead.
But you still have little... Like, I mean, that's how a lot of people get started in movies and... TV shows and stuff is that they started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I love stand-up. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I mean, it's a great way to discover new comedians. It's just that now it's like you got to follow this guy on Twitter and not you got to watch this guy's special. There aren't that many specials anymore. There just aren't.
But the ones they have are usually pretty good.
Right. My next part of that question is kind of a flip. If stand-up's not dead, Who are the up-and-comers of stand-up? Like, who's going to be the next big thing? I think Neil Brennan has a shot. The dude's really funny. He's charismatic. He's kind of like a nicer Daniel Tosh in a way. I could totally see him being big. On the girl side, I love Claire Tittleman, but she's kind of out there and no one really knows her. Do either of you have an opinion on that at all?
Not much, really. I don't...
So there's no at midnight guest or anything that you think could make the step. Like Ron Funches, for example.
He already did because he's got that show coming up.
Yeah, but he's not the star, but he's just kind of like a part player. He'll still be on it.
I mean, I'm going to play a little bit. I mean, Kevin, I think Kevin Hart's really funny. Like, I'm a Kevin Hart fan. I haven't seen his, like, I don't go to the theater to watch his special. I'll wait till it comes out on, like, Netflix. But I think they're really funny. And I really like his persona.
I loved Kevin Hart's early stand-up, but now he's grown. This isn't like a hipster thing. I'm saying, like,
yeah.
his comedy has changed a little bit, where he's now more of a like a caricature of himself. Where he's kind of all over the place. And
Seriously Funny was one of his specials.
Yes.
One of my favorite.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
that was
special.
One of my favorite specials ever. Stand up
because he was so like everyman in that one, and then from what I've seen of the new one, it's more just him. It's more angsty, I guess.
Yeah.
More like,
and a lot of it's kind of a rehash outlandish. Of stuff he's already told.
Yeah,
because he's playing the character of himself.
Right, exactly.
And the character's getting kind of old.
Yeah, I think that Kevin Hart movie bubble will bust soon.
Yeah.
I think he had his 2-year run. Which he knows. I mean, he's making as much money as he can while he can.
Being a movie, being the lead man of a movie, I think he'll feature in movies for a long time.
Oh, yeah. But like, every stand-up, usually. Yeah. Every bigger stand-up. Okay, there's that question. So Kickstarter.
Oh, God.
Is pretty popular. I mean,
and polarizing.
And you're either one way or the other. I want to know what your all's take on Kickstarter is. For people who don't know, which I'm assuming everyone knows, but Kickstarter is a website where you can go to have your project crowdsourced. Or crowdfunded, rather. Fans of whatever you're going to make, say you were going to make a video game that's kind of like Little Big Planet, then I would be interested and I would pay X amount of dollars, and my benefit would that I'd get access to the game early, or I'd get my name in the credits or something like that. I just want to know what your take is on it.
The idea is genius. But the people who fund Kickstarter projects, I really don't think they know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, if Jay's going to make, I don't know, a movie or something.
Yeah, like an indie movie.
And he doesn't have the funding for it, so he puts it on Kickstarter.
Right.
The problem I have with that is all you know about that movie is from what he tells you.
Yeah.
So I can throw as much money at him as I want, but what I want, there's no, like, contact. So I can't invest my money in him and let him know what I want my money going
to. It's not like a key investor in a project. You can't have your 2 cents.
Yeah.
You pay them and that's it.
Yeah, it's not like a stock. It's like you don't pay and then become part owner of the movie and have your say go into the movie.
See, when I think it's just your money. When I think of crowdsourcing, I think of getting information from other people, not necessarily just getting money. Yeah. And that's how.
This is crowdfunding. I misspoke.
Yeah. But I just. As far as not having a say in what you're throwing your money into, I don't like it.
Yeah. It's very. It's weird because, I mean, if you put. For you to put something on Kickstarter is to say, I do not have. To the extreme, I do not have, like, the. Trust to invest my own money and go get loans and make this thing myself.
There's a flip side of that where I've put everything I have in this and I need to get over. And there's also a third caveat where
nobody else would put money in there.
Exactly. Yeah. No big investor would invest. I'm going to see if people want it.
But then there's, like, if people in that point are, I don't want to say they just, hang on a second. Talk this out.
Okay. Jay, take call. See, my point of view on Kickstarter is it depends on scale. So if for example, Don't Starve, which is a game I love, if Don't Starve says, all right, we're going to make new DLC if we can get it funded, okay? And we're going to make it, because they did something with like a little plushie, or they had like little collectible figures, and it was like, if you know, if we get this backed, we'll print them. But that's more for your sake than ours.
Yeah.
So if they're going to make this DLC, but they need $5,000, say, and if you chip in $100, you get your name in the credits and you get like a sign.
Ooh.
Something. Right, there's that, but it's like $5,000, I can understand. Whereas like $200,000 or more than that, like there's some that are like millions.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. At that point, go to an investor. Oculus is a great example of why Kickstarter is amazing for the people who create the thing.
Genius.
It's amazing, and it's terrible for the investors.
Yeah.
Because Oculus sold for close to $1 billion, wasn't it?
It was something like that.
It was like 800 something.
Also,
million,
why does everyone call us when we're making podcasts?
I don't know. It's weird. I never
get phone calls until I'm doing this.
And nope. Then we're in here. But Oculus was kickstarted. And I forget how much the original goal was. And then they just kept adding on stuff.
Yeah. I just don't agree with putting all the risk in the consumer's hands. Like 99% of the risk should be
take responsibility for your own product.
Exactly. So
I also like the way our market worked before Kickstarter, where if somebody thinks it's good enough, they'll put a whole lot of money into it. Yeah. And these are people who already have experience with putting money into things. Mm-hmm. And then people will vote with their wallet.
Like Shark Tank style.
Yeah, exactly.
That being said, if I was trying to get something, I mean, that would be the place to go.
I know, it's odd.
It almost takes, like...
Oh, I would absolutely, yeah.
Like, rather than going to an investor right off and having the trouble of pitching that idea to him or her, I mean, I'm going to put it on Kickstarter first and try to get as much money as I can up front and then go pitch it and get more money.
It's just a weird, you know, entrepreneurial instinct to just be like, if you'll give me money, I'll take it.
Exactly.
I mean, Kickstarter is... I admire the people who created it because they meant well.
It just didn't pan out.
But it's just more of a debate on the market and how investing should be done. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure the Kickstarter people have made their money back tenfold.
Oh,
I wonder if they can Kickstart another website before that one does. And so that's that one.
Punch Quitter.
What?
Kickstarter.
Punch Quitter.
Nice. Sorry, I didn't get that one. So we all like facial hair. We all... I've had it at one point. Jay's had like
doesn't come in as strong.
What is the best facial hair in a movie ever? Now it can be either most iconic or just best groomed, like whatever. One of my examples is the Butcher.
Yeah.
From Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis's character where he has the mustache, because you can just instantly recognize that.
I mean, I like Tom Hanks' Castaway.
Just the
wild man.
That's a good one.
If I were going to say best groomed, I'd just go like Bradley Cooper in Hangover.
If you're going best groomed,
he's probably got that stuff.
Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, I mean, just
his like, is like best looking.
Yeah, personal probably. Preference.
He's got to groom Shadow.
Probably most iconic to me is the Wolverine beard.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because how many people just grow a beard like that other than because they want to look like Wolverine?
Yeah, that's true. There's also, there's a lot to this list, which is why I think it's fun. There's, if we're just going pop culture and maybe not movies, then definitely the Heisenberg beard has to be said something about.
Love it.
And then back to movies, you've got, there are just so many like famous mustaches.
Yeah.
It's awesome how, like, you've got the whole Easy Rider era, yes. Handlebar mustache, and then you've got, like, or not Handlebar. What is that called?
Handlebar.
No, it's a Handlebar. I don't know. There's just a lot of great facial hair in movies, and I think that's funny how that's a trend.
Yeah.
What was the movie with the guy that had slashes in his beard, like stripes? Is that Zoolander? What was that? I'm sorry. That's a tangent.
Stripes. I was like Avatar, where he's got the scars on his face, but he has no beard.
Yeah.
That general. Anyway, facial hair.
Yeah. Facial hair is good.
Yeah.
Next question. So One way or another, we all have been fans of comics.
Like the books, not like the comedian.
Like, yes, like comic books.
Okay.
Whether it's...
Whether in the book form or...
Right.
I got you.
Exactly. So what is the best adaptation, movie, game, whatever, of a comic book character?
The Dark Knight.
Why?
Oh, God.
Okay, let me... I'm going to delve a little further. The Joker in The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Why? Heath Ledger's Joker. Best, like... It was just the best to the roots, like... It was Christopher Nolan's dark, realistic aura applied to all the best traits of the Joker.
Heath Ledger's Joker was perfectly maniacal enough...
But also tactical enough.
Right.
Where it just came off as real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you feared him because he was so realistic.
Right.
I love that. I mean, Heath Ledger's Joker is arguably. I could make the case that it would be like my favorite acting performance of all time. I love it that much.
I mean.
So even though they don't follow the comics that well.
I know where you're going with this.
As far as popularity,
The Walking Dead
and monetary value, it has to be Walking Dead.
That's a good pick.
That's definitely a good pick.
That's a good one.
Because you start with the comic, and you have those people that worked on the comic work on the show.
Which is genius.
And even though they don't follow the same pathway, you get the feel. Yeah, it still has the same universe.
Yeah.
But that would have to be mine.
So Jay.
Yeah.
I knew you were either going to go one way or the other.
Spider-Man or Batman?
Yes. And I knew each of those had a couple trees.
Yeah.
If you're going to go Batman universe, what makes Heath Ledger's Joker better than, say, Mark Hamill's Joker in Arkham games?
Okay. Just the realism. However, Mark Hamill's Joker is like it's a little bit different of the interpretations. Like, the purpose of Heath Ledger's Joker was to be realistic.
Right.
Hamill's Joker is still the insanity is taken to another level. Like, he's crazier, he's funnier.
He's cartoonier.
Yes. But he's still, like, love to hate, kind of. Like, he's still
villainous.
Yeah, and he's still smart enough. Like, he's not crazy in a sense that he can't control himself. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you still could get fear from that character. And Hamill's voice portrayal, he's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
But still not enough to beat out.
Still probably not enough to beat it.
R.I.P.
Oh, yeah. If he comes back in Arkham Knight, the upcoming game, and just knocks it out of the park, it would maybe move up there. That'd be three really great portrayals, and that's hard to overlook.
Right. Hamill, known for the trilogies.
Not to knock Troy Baker's Joker, because it was really good, too.
I heard that was really good. Okay, so, did you hear about this? Which this made me... I have to look this up soon.
Yeah.
Troy Baker read in his Joker voice some of the lines from The Killing Joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I need to look that up. But... If graphic novels don't count as adaptations of comics...
You think Watchmen?
Well, I'm not saying graphic novels are comics. I'm saying The Killing Joke is my favorite Batman.
Oh, okay.
If that doesn't count as an adaptation, which I don't think it would for the sake of this conversation.
I thought you were going Watchmen graphic novel into Watchmen movie or V for Vendetta comic.
I almost went V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta is awesome.
V for Vendetta is a great adaptation. Watchmen's better as a graphic novel. V for Vendetta is close. 300 is also on that list. But my pick is actually in the same movie as yours, but I think it's Two-Face.
Aaron Eckhart's Two-Face was awesome.
And here's why. I remember as a kid watching like Batman cartoons.
Oh, you don't like Tommy Lee Jones's
Batman Forever Two-Face?
No. Watching cartoons, watching like the Keaton Batman. And Two-Face was always kind of weird and wackier. This Two-Face was...
I kind of see what you're saying
about the Joker. It was real.
I agree.
You can totally see...
I agree. Eckhart's Two-Face was awesome.
It was a 180 of what I thought Two-Face was. Now, Joker was like more of a 90-degree turn to me. So that's why I think that Two-Face is better than Joker. Now, acting performance-wise, yeah, Heath Ledger probably had a better acting performance, but just portrayal, I believe that Aaron Eckhart was the winner of that one.
Golly. The scenes in that movie with Eckhart and Joker in the hospital are some of my probably my favorites in the movie.
Those are great.
Love it.
In your all's opinion, what is the most quotable television show ever?
Jeez.
Oh. And while you all think about this, Jay, I was going to make a little T joke to you earlier through text. Do you know who that is?
Little T. Yeah. It's like I know who it
is. You do know who it is. It was played by Tevin Campbell.
In The Fresh Prince?
Yes! Well done.
Little T, who sang Ashley's birthday song in like the very early in the first season.
Yeah.
I thought that was
that was on the TV today, and I was like, I want to see if Jay knows this, but I didn't text you.
I'm glad you did.
Jay loves Saved by the Bell.
No, I don't. I love The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My bad. I misspoke. I always swap those two shows because I always watch them together.
Yeah.
And when I mean quotable, I mean both that you can take quotes from them and a mass amount of people will get them.
Oh, mass amount of people?
Because, I mean, if you say The Newsroom, which you could, because there are a lot of quotes in that, that show, but not that many people are going to get it.
I mean, going away from that, probably for me, like, it has to be a sitcom or a comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of one-liners.
Right? Yeah, like, just that punchline is the thing you're going to remember the most. Like, you can't, I mean, I can think of scenes and sentences and stuff from The Walking Dead, but I can't quote it.
Right. That's a good point.
So.
Mine would be Friends, probably.
That's what I was, but not for me personally, but for everybody else. That have to be.
Because so many people watched it.
Yeah.
There's so many good lines from that show. It's easy to reference. A lot of people get it. I think that's probably the most
cool. If you're a girl and it's because of Netflix, it's Gossip Girl.
Yeah. Is that show really quotable?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a drama, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
But everybody knows it.
God, my God.
And then I was thinking probably The Simpsons. Long running. I mean, I could see it.
I mean, yeah. I personally not me, and I would say South Park if you're going animated.
For me,
even though Family Guy's right there,
it would be Always Sunny.
Oh, that's a good pick.
But not for other people.
Not for a mass majority of people.
Yeah. If it were for me,
people who get it,
yeah,
it's really hilarious. Yes.
If it were for me personally, it'd be The Big Bang Theory. Like, I
that could be
a lot
of people too. Though.
That's a mass.
Right now, it's as hot as anything.
Which. I'm gonna make this a question.
Okay.
Is Big Bang Theory overhyped?
No.
Yes.
No.
Absolutely
not.
I watch Big Bang Theory. You know this.
Yeah, I
keep up with it. It is not that monumental when it comes to sitcoms. It's really not.
Oh, I mean, no, it's not.
It's not a game changer. Like, Friends was probably a game changer. It was the first, like, multi-personality. Some would say Seinfeld, but they were around the same time. And Seinfeld was a game changer just because it was Seinfeld. Cosby Show was a game changer. Like, there are. There's like a lineage of sitcoms, like Cosby Show, Seinfeld, Friends, and then there's been this gap. Maybe. Because the people who say
Two and a Half Men.
See, that's exactly my point. The people who say Big Bang Theory are also going to say Two and a Half Men, and I disagree with both those picks. Two and a Half Men has faded out of our memory as soon as Charlie Sheen left.
Yeah. See, I would. No, I prefer Big Bang Theory from seasons like I would say seasons like 2 through 5. More than Charlie Sheen's Two and a Half Men. I would say Big Bang Theory is the best. Probably the best sitcom since Friends.
Big Bang Theory isn't the best sitcom on right now.
What is?
Modern Family.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
It's a different interpretation of the genre.
He's thinking like classic.
So you like laugh tracks?
Yes.
I don't need them. I like when the producers say, you're going to get this or you're not, but we're not going to help you out. And that's what makes that show so smart. Always Sunny, no laugh track. Love Always Sunny.
Those aren't sitcoms, though.
They're sitcoms.
I think laugh track.
Like you see the cameras on the living room and people walking in and out. Making
same set.
Yeah.
All the time.
See, but I think any comedic TV show is a sitcom.
No, I think sitcom is a little more specific term. You got comedy shows.
Yes.
Well, Big Bang Theory is probably the third or fourth comedy on right now.
Once again,
in my opinion. But I mean,
I would say it's a top sitcom. Not to me personally, but yeah.
Top laugh track sitcom, sure. And that's what I'm saying. I think it's too popular for its own good. Because it's going to fade out now. Whereas if it would have kept like a niche, people are going to remember.
Well, I think it hit the perfect time because technological, you know, web, the internet age and just everything. It hit right at the time where everything's just escalating. And everything can now, like technology and all this stuff is just so easily referenced in the context of that show that it just makes sense to a lot of people. Even if, like, you know, I mean, Sheldon and Leonard are physicists and they ramble on technical stuff that nobody understands, and it's still funny to me.
No, I'm not saying I don't like the show.
I know.
I'm just saying I don't think as highly of it as other people do. And I also think that it kind of misrepresents
you think
a lot
you
of
think,
nerdy culture.
Yeah,
it totally
to me, like, as far as, like, they're physicists, like, if I'm in a room with two physicists, I shouldn't understand anything they're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
And they make them more personable.
Mm-hmm. And see, I'm the opposite way. I think nerd culture as a whole has gone so far with, like, your nerdist and your nerds cool now, which it hasn't been for 40 years. And Big Bang Theory kind of, well, not really. They're still kind of awkward. They're still not cool. And I don't like that. It seems almost too set in its ways for its own good. Like, sure, you get a nerd gets Penny every once in a while. But you know how, like, a big deal that is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a post-segregation slave show. Not nearly in that context.
Yeah.
But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a misrepresentation.
Like, they were just... Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Because nerd culture has moved so far, and that's kind of like... Nah, they're still nerds. They're not cool. They just ramble on about superheroes.
But that's your interpretation. That's, you know.
What do you think?
But are there
we
that
do?
Many people that are like that anymore?
But I mean, it's not like there doesn't have to be. I mean, you have this one isolated group who are
bigotry. That's what that is. That's why I like Modern Family. Because you've got every imaginable circumstance. Like, you've got two gay guys, one who's a flamboyant, usually depicted in sitcoms. Gay guy, and then you've got another guy that isn't flamboyant at all.
Yeah,
and that seems realer.
And you've got an older guy who married
wealthy dude.
Yeah, who married a foreign younger lady in Sofia Vergara,
but she's super smart and, like, knows how to play chess really well.
Think about it in the same context that. Let's say that Big Bang Theory took advantage of the rise of nerd culture and just kind of devolved, did their own take on it.
Yeah.
Modern Family does that on, like, three different angles. Or how many families are there? Three?
Yeah, there are three groupings.
It's taking the interpretations of these three tropes of, like, groups of people and just playing off of each other.
In their modern context.
Exactly.
But that's not what Big Bang Theory is doing.
It's a complete opposite.
It's not modernized. It's like 1992 version of it's like if Revenge of the Nerds had a sitcom. That's that type of nerd. What I want to see, and the show wouldn't do well because it doesn't fall into place. I'm shocked Modern Family does well, but it has like a higher intelligent audience. Sitcoms you want to appeal to the mass audience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I understand.
So most people think, oh, they're nerdy. Oh, they're going to talk about superheroes. They're going to play Dungeons and Dragons and be done.
Yeah.
That's not how it is anymore. Nerds are your boss. Nerds are, you know what I mean? Like, and everyone's nerdy about something.
And here's, like, and from what I've watched, I don't watch a lot of, I've seen a few episodes of Modern Family, but, like,
it's a great show.
Even, like, there are aggrandized, like, situations in Modern Family.
Yeah.
Like, we were watching the other day, and they had his birthday party, and there was a bunch of stupid stuff going on.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
There's situations
I mean,
like that in Modern Family, and there's situations like that in Big Bang Theory. And I prefer them in Big Bang Theory because in the context of the classic sitcom, it's like they're goofier and, like, they make more sense. They don't make sense in a show that's not...
They're goofier yet make more sense.
They're goofier.
They make more sense, like, they make more sense in that type of show because they're goofy, like, things to do. Like, it doesn't really make sense in a show that's got the more intelligent audience with and meant to be more modernized to have such wacky circumstances.
See, I the thing I love about Modern Family is that everything always has a reason or ties together at the end. Like, and the first show I remember doing that, I never watched Seinfeld, is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
Where every, like, plotline A, plotline B, and plotline C at the end of the show all come together in some really hilarious way.
Yeah.
And that's the part about Modern Family that I really like. Sure, I mean, every comedy is going to kind of have its outlandish premise because that's how you keep it fresh. But I'm a bigger fan of no laugh track than laugh track. I think that's maybe what it comes down to. I like that they assume that I'm going to get the joke. I don't need a laugh track.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the great comedy debate.
Yeah, no kidding.
It rages on for the next podcast.
Yeah, I think, and I'll close it here, I guess. I think, I mean, I'm not going to close it without you saying something. But
I know.
I think Modern Family.
I'm getting the last word, Jay.
Is.
You'll get the last word because you're impartial. Or it seems.
No, I mean, I'm more on Tanner's side than I am yours, just because I'm with Tanner on, in the sense that, like, I like to laugh on my own. Like, what I find funny to me is just what I find funny. Mm-hmm. Rather than be like, oh, laugh track, time for everybody to laugh. I mean, I don't even laugh, like, out loud watching almost any comedy. Unless it's for the first time, like, watching a hilarious movie.
Right.
But, or if I'm at the movie theaters with a bunch of people that are laughing around me, then I laugh with them. Because, like, if I go watch a funny movie with Tanner, I laugh more at Tanner than I do the movie.
Yeah, I'm a very
flamboyant laugher.
Very big laugher, yeah.
But that's just how I feel about it.
And I don't want this to come off as that I hate Big Bang Theory. I don't. I find the show really funny. But I mean the characters are good. They're just misrepresentative, I guess. But my thing about Modern Family is I think it will stand the test of time better than Big Bang Theory will. Like, I think our kids may have heard about Modern Family if their parents were fans. Whereas Big Bang Theory, we may forget about when sitcom X comes on. Because Two and a Half Men was huge for a little while. It's kind of a Chuck Lorre trait, I guess. Two and a Half Men was huge, and then I forgot all about it. I don't remember much of the storyline or anything.
Yeah.
And everybody watched it there for a little bit. So there you go.
Yeah.
There's the sitcom comedy, whatever you want to call it, debate. So we said the last 10 minutes would be randomness.
Yes.
We're at the last 10 minutes. I'm gonna do quick fire.
Go for it.
We're gonna do quick fire, yes or no. You can talk a little bit about it, but not.
Gotcha.
Batman versus Superman. Who wins?
Superman.
Why?
Because it's freaking Superman. He has actual superpowers.
They're fighting in the Batcave.
Superman.
Really?
He's got lasers. He can fly.
Yeah, in a realistic scenario, Superman would always beat Batman.
Superman would almost beat everybody other than Superman.
Batman would come up with, like, a kryptonite.
Except for maybe Hulk.
Yeah, but can he do that, like, spur of the moment?
No.
He has prepared.
There's no kryptonite on Earth except what they bring in.
He's Batman. He's Bruce Wayne. He's rich enough.
Okay.
He's rich enough to.
So you both agree Batman versus Superman. Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Rolling Stones, personally.
Yeah, I'm not big on the Beatles.
Andrew does not like the Beatles.
I like the Beatles. I just don't like how everybody, like, is obsessed with the Beatles.
Same boat.
Like, some people who like the Beatles like them because everybody else likes the Beatles.
Yeah, a lot of people like the Beatles say, hey, I like the Beatles.
Yeah, Beatles are cool. Yeah. Like them because you like their music, not because everybody else likes them.
Plus,
yeah.
I like the Rolling Stones a lot.
Really?
Good.
I know that. Best flavor milkshake.
I'm just a vanilla guy.
Shocker.
Hot fudge.
No one.
Ooh, never mind. He's right.
No, I mean, other than, like, crazy
chocolate chip
flavor. Oh, God, I hate mint chocolate.
You can't get hot fudge everywhere.
No, you can't. That's what I'm saying. Like, there are some, like, just regular.
Like, there's two places here in town that have hot fudge.
Of the, like, the three, if you think.
Twin and Burger.
If you think.
I knew Twin.
Like, milkshakes as vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, I'd pick chocolate. But if you, like, open up the whole grand scheme of things, like, Cookout has banana pudding milkshakes.
Cookout's amazing. Have you had Cookout's milkshakes?
I haven't been there.
We'll They're amazing. Everyone go to Cookout.
Anyway, really, but they've got, like, that whole slew of milkshakes. But of the, you know, three typical ones, it would be chocolate. But of the other grand scheme of things, it would be banana pudding because I freaking love banana pudding.
I also throw caramel in.
Caramel's pretty good.
Caramel's good.
I like milkshakes. Anyway.
Good question. Best trilogy ever.
Lord of the Rings.
Ever?
Yeah.
For me. Which everybody was surprised. I desperately need to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I've got the Blu-ray extended edition one.
I mean, personally. Yeah, he does. Personally, the Dark Knight trilogy.
I could see that.
But then ever probably the OG.
Probably over Star Wars.
You saw it.
Okay. Weirdest sport that you're a fan of. Mine's lacrosse. Lacrosse is freaking awesome.
Some people call golf weird.
No.
Oh, we're talking like really weird sports?
Yeah.
Hala.
What?
It's really cool. It's where they've got the scoop things. I don't even remember what they're called. They play it in Florida, and they throw the ball. It looks like 80 miles an hour. It hits the wall, and they they throw it back and forth. Awesome. And plus, you can bet on it.
I did watch something weird the other day, and it was like trampoline dodgeball. That was pretty cool.
Oh, I've seen that, where there's like the floor is trampoline.
Yeah, that
or 5-on-5 MMA.
That is
it is awesome.
Have you seen this? It's really cool. Andrew, show me.
They just like it sucks after like one person goes down because it's like
it's just like a
group. Yeah, they just start beating on one guy. But at first, it's awesome because they just like it's all a bunch of like flying knees and stuff.
Keanu Reeves or Nicolas Cage?
Oh man,
Keanu.
Personally,
I agree.
Nick Cage.
Why?
I prefer Nick
Keanu
Cage.
Keanu has better body work.
Yeah, but for me, like, there's a lot of outside of like
not in that movie.
Outside of like Matrix and Devil's Advocate that I've seen, I don't really
Speed.
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted.
Nope.
Point
Break.
Point Break is his best movie. Yeah. Movie's awesome.
But still, I like the National Treasure movies. I don't care if anybody else doesn't, because I'm a history buff.
No, I like National Treasure. They're cool. Yeah.
There's clues in the money.
He never once says that. The
no.
Entire movie. That's the funny part. There's clues in the money. The best animated series.
Ever?
Yeah. No, I mean, best animated adult series. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Be so broad.
I guess Family Guy.
I do Family Guy.
Even though I don't really, I'm not really a fan at all of adult animated series, really.
I like Family Guy. Shout out to Ren and Stimpy.
King of the Hill is pretty good, too.
Shout out to Bob's Burgers is really funny.
My name's Hank Hill. Sell propane and propane accessories.
Have you seen the the turn down for what that's Hank Hill?
No.
Like, turn down for what? It's really good. I'll show you later. What was my next one? I had another one. Get turned up to death. Best digital short. Andy Samberg.
Dick in a Box.
Yeah.
No.
Or no.
OG.
I was thinking Mother Lover.
Ooh.
Oh, really? Oh, really? I think that's the weakest of that
would
trilogy.
Would you count like the Peyton Manning way. United
I
way.
I like them all. They're all funny.
No. I'm saying if they say digital short. Like the Andy Samberg songs.
Dick in a Box.
I like them all.
See, I gotta go with Lazy Sunday.
Oh, Lazy Sunday.
That was the first one. Everyone was crazy about the song. Also, I'm on a Boat was huge. Yeah.
Was Boombox one?
Yes. I don't know if it was that ever on SNL?
I don't know.
It was on the album.
There's a music video to it. I think it was on SNL.
Favorite musical comedian?
Bo Burnham.
I don't follow him any of them. I guess old school, Weird Al.
I gotta either go Bo Burnham or Tim Minchin.
I'm not a big fan of Tim Minchin.
He's out there. Best Will Ferrell movie.
Elf.
Wow, that was quick. I disagree.
I watch it like every year.
That's the point of the movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
but it's like saying Chevy Chase's best movie.
Well, I mean, some people's like I watch like.
But
some people's like I watch like
best Christmas movie.
It's a Wonderful Life every year.
Oh,
or I watch Christmas Vacation every year.
Christmas Vacation, absolutely.
Oh God, I love Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation's awesome.
It's a bit nippy in here. Nipply.
I would say Step Brothers.
No Penny Line. See that, Russ?
Russ?
Yeah, Step Brothers is a good pick.
Yeah.
I like Old School a lot.
Old School's really good.
Old School's funny.
I like Anchorman.
Yeah.
An awful lot.
Yeah.
Both first and second.
Yeah.
A lot of people weren't crazy about the second one.
I love the second one.
Really
it was
funny.
Awesome. Second one was awesome.
That was a good sequel to a comedy. And the cameos in that movie were awesome.
Or
that was one of the things that like made that movie, were all the cameos.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Which it did in the first one.
Yeah,
too.
But it was better.
But it was like mind blowing. No spoilers. Quickfire is fun in the music.
Yeah.
Boneless or bone in wings?
Boneless.
Depends.
Boneless for convenience.
On?
Boneless
wait,
for
convenience. Wait, I want to hear this.
Boneless for convenience. The thing I hate about bone-in is like if you're at Hooters and you got a fresh plate of wings and you're ready to dig into them because you're so hungry and you go to break the bone like, you know, you do the wing thing where you pull it out.
Yeah.
And it's like not hot taste, or not hot, like spicy hot, but hot hot, and you burn your fingers on it.
See, I'm boneless if it's really saucy. Bone in if it's a dry wing.
Yeah, I can see, that.
Like, I just, that's the way I prefer it.
That's like wings.
Favorite educational show? Mine's Mythbusters.
Mythbusters.
I mean, you could shout out to like Bill Nye.
Yeah, like secondhand lines.
Oh, would you count secondhand lines?
No, what was the?
Oh, reading between the lines.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Crap like that. Reading Rainbow. Or something like that. Rainbow.
Would you count something like Tickers or Pawn Stars?
No, favorite one of those shows. That's your question now.
Okay.
Favorite one of your favorite History Channel show. No, you can't actually say History Channel specials. Like Storage Wars, Pickers,
Storage Wars, any,
yeah,
or well, that we'll throw that in there too. It's the same. It's the same.
Personally, I say Pawn Stars.
I say Pickers.
They're both good.
Pawn Stars, I got burnt out on.
I'd say Pickers.
Oh, Jay and I, to distract from the quick fire for just a second. Jay and I watched a show the other night when you lived.
This was awesome.
It was called Diggers.
I've seen that, where they, yeah.
They just go out and dig.
Oh, look what I found.
Yeah, they scream about everything.
Like, one dude found, like, an old coin or something.
A Spanish real.
Oh, yeah, he found a Spanish real. He's like, this is my holy grail. I can't believe I found it. And he starts doing cartwheels.
Yeah.
And you don't even see what it is. He's like, this is a Spanish real. And then it comes up like
a... And he was saying, like, that was the greatest thing he's ever found. And, like, the episode before, he found the Confederate... belt buckle. And he was like, this is the number one on my list.
Like everything they get way excited for. And it's really
It
awesome.
Was funny.
It's a good late night show. Best Food Network show.
Right now?
Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Consistently. Yeah. That's, yeah. Like over the past while, Chopped is my favorite.
See, Cutthroat Kitchen is like, haha, yeah. Chopped? You thought you were
exactly.
Cool. We're awesome. We're going to sabotage.
Like, yeah, you have to move the water out of this pan with a straw.
I watched the one where it was like they had to cook with only stuff that was in a yard sale box. And some dude had like a bowl, like a golf club, and like it was so awesome.
And a canned chicken.
The canned chicken thing was awful. The show is so good.
That is awesome.
I don't know how they think of stuff like that. I'd be sitting there like, how am I going
to
get...
Alton Brown is coming to Eastern.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Coming to the Center for the Arts. It's some touring thing he's doing.
That's cool.
I'm down to go. Well, there was our 10 minutes of randomness.
Yeah.
That went pretty well.
Yeah.
Like how it. Did we say we were going to close the... Oh, we didn't work our word in. Leviathan.
I forgot about it.
We all forgot about the word. Well, I guess that's it. Andrew, you want to make a reference to something?
No.
Okay. No. Jay, do you want to make a reference?
I've made a reference last time.
No.
No. We just sit here doing the beaches thing.
Surfboard.
Okay. All right. Well, there's your reference. As haphazard as that was. Thanks for listening. If you like this... Please keep listening.
Surfboard.
You can get more of these at...
That's where colleges use their stuff.
It's College Beyonce. You can listen to these every... We're going to start posting Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, which is in order every other day, starting with Tuesday. And the newest one will go up on Saturday, and then the next one will go Tuesday. The next one will go Thursday, and then we record on Friday.
Hey, Jay, you know who ordered the Code Red?
No.
I don't either. And you can get all these podcasts at our blogger, which is prefandref.blogspot.com. That's prefandref.blogspot.com. This has been Preferences and References. Surfboard. Goodbye.